Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I am Brent Smith, alongside my very good friend, Shane Stetsny. It's the week of Crandon, Shane, and boy, oh boy, how don't you get excited for the big house?
Well, being a Crandon kid myself, Brent, it brings back memories. So when I was a kid, I'm already derailing the whole show here, but this thought just came to me, this memory. When I was a kid, everybody was excited for school to be let out. Back then, we started before Labor Day and got done right at the beginning of June. And all the other kids were excited to get out of school because it was summertime. And I was just excited for school, the school year to be done, because that meant it was just a couple of weeks till Crandon. To sum it all up, yeah, I'm really excited. And I always have been since I was a little kid. Right. When I was a kid, even Christmas morning, I still would sleep in, but Crandon race weekends, it was like 5:30, 6 in the morning, I was up. 7 years old, ready to rock and roll before mom was even ready to take me to the track.
Yeah, that's all you thought about, right? At least you and I did, but you being from Crandon, being that close, I mean, when trucks tested probably while you guys were still in school, it probably just killed you to be in the classroom.
Well, you know that, because I bet from Bark River Harris, you could probably hear him when they were testing up there. So yeah, same exact story. Of course, the school in Crandon is what, half a mile from the racetrack. So yeah, indoors during class, you'd hear him testing and wonder who was down there. I also remember meeting I knew my friends that I kind of grew up with who went to the races, and then in school got to know other kids, and then would say something about, we'll have to hang out at the races this summer or whatever. And then I'd find out that there was kids in Crandon that didn't go. I remember just being blown away. Like, what do you mean you don't go to Brush Run? That's where everybody does it. Everybody in town's there. What do you mean you don't go?
No, I feel you there. You ask people back in Bark River during the weekend or close to the weekend or in the summer, it's like, are you going to go to the off-road races? They're like, oh, what do you mean? Some of them go. The mud runs? I'm like, no, like Champ Off-Road, the Championship Off-Road Racing Series. And they're like, well, I don't know. We got to go camping. And I'm like, come on. That's as bad as putting a wedding. Yeah, that's bad as putting a wedding on the off-road weekend.
My family knew better than to do that. Even the extended family, if it was a wedding coming up or wedding planning going on, they knew that those two weekends for sure were blocked off because my dad wouldn't be able to make it, and in all likelihood, neither would I. So my family knew that. Even when I was a little kid, I remember weddings getting planned around race weekends.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out because my cousin Chad Bullshaw, for a long, long time, just followed off-road racing, still does. He lives out in Southern California. He's getting married, so like, congratulations to him and his wife, Stephanie, soon to be. But I always told him, I'm like, that's the worst nightmare you could ever do. So I'm bummed I can't make it, but I'm like, hey, I got to be in Crandon.
Well, before we totally turn the page and look ahead to Crandon, I do want to talk about a little bit more of what we saw at Antigo in rounds 3 and 4. On the last one, we talked about some drivers who got their first pro wins, Michael Funk, Joey Machosik. We talked about Colin Truitt getting his first win in pro side-by-side. One driver that we didn't talk about was Mickey Thomas, who got his first pro 4 win in round 4. And man, he proved that brand new truck built by Chad Matag is a winner, and he proved it pretty fast.
Yeah, it was just a matter of time, right? When you see two guys get together and really focus. And Chad Matag, we all know, you and I best, what he has done for the sport and around the sport for other drivers. And I knew he was going to take him to that next level, Shane. And Mickey Thomas has said that before. If this truck finishes, we're going to be fast. And he's very confident, which is very scary because you've seen what he did in the past in Pro 2.
Right.
Obviously, it was just a matter of time for him to adapt to the Pro 4.
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking about is, and even going back to Pro Light, just how dominant he was.
Right, right.
Once he, fully figured it out, now he figured it out in Pro 2. It was a kind of a climb to get to that level in Pro 2. He finally won the championship a couple of years ago and then makes the next big jump up into Pro 4. And, last year took his lumps, but like we're saying, in the offseason builds a brand new truck and took him the second race weekend, and he's on top of the box.
Yeah, and you and I, as we were walking out of Anago, chit-chatting about the split lanes and everything, Chad Matag, we came up to him. By the way, he loved the split lanes, so some other guys didn't that we talked to. But
yeah, we talked to someone else 25 yards down the pit road that didn't like it so much, who had to drive on it, so... mixed opinions.
Yeah, and like Chapman takes like 6 months to design, 60 days to build, and we just both looked at each other like, are you crazy? Like, you don't sleep at all, but look at what he right. builds and develops and innovates, and he's one of the best, and you wouldn't not want him in your camp at any time. He's very smart. That whole family is.
So now that Mickey Thomas knows that he can win, and he's proven that he can win in Pro 4, what does that mean for the rest of the year and the Pro 4 points battle? As it stands right now, CJ, who we'll talk about in a little bit, is coming back for Crandon and beyond. He's third in the points, so, you know, nice job by Kyle Greaves to keep him close to the front. But we kind of figured coming into this year that, you know, this is Jimmy Henderson's best opportunity to try to build a points lead at the start of the year, and that's what he did. He's 31 points ahead of Mickey Thomas, but again, seems like Mickey Thomas is probably a threat to win at every single racetrack we go to from here on out. So what does that mean for the points battle in Pro 4?
Well, it means it's not over until it's over, right until the end. Because, I mean, you can say 20, 30 points no matter what it is. 31 behind Jimmy. Granted, Jimmy, he loves Crandon. But Mickey's been a rocket ship no matter what he's been in a Pro Light, Pro 2, Pro 4 at Crandon. So
right.
I look for him to just keep on digging out points from Henderson. He's got to finish ahead of him, finish right with him, but he can't allow Henderson to just keep winning because that's going to hurt him in the end. He's just got to focus on his own program, and I think it'll come to him. He's got many more wins underneath his sleeve, I promise you that. But then now when you bring CJ Greaves back in it, it becomes a little bit difficult.
Yeah, let's dive in a little deeper on CJ as he makes his return from that off-season knee surgery. Like I said, currently third in the Pro 4 points. He's third in Pro side-by-side and fifth in Pro Stock side-by-side. So, you know, all three of the classes where we expect him to be a championship contender every single year, he's got some work to do, but if anybody can do it, it's him, right?
Yeah, I was just talking to my old man about that back in Bark River. I was like, Dad, you know, look at where CJ Greaves gets the plate handed to him couple weekends into the year, and he's like, well, you know, exactly what you said. If anybody can do it, it's going to be CJ, and some of it might look a little out of the ordinary to maybe make it happen, but we've seen that kid do more in a truck than we've seen anyone do over the past 20 years. I mean, the kid is amazing.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and he's glad to be back, and we're excited to have him back.
Yeah, and we know that he tested at Crandon, I think, like the Wednesday after Anago, so he was already turning some laps and trying to knock off some of that rust. But testing is a different environment, different experience than actually lining up alongside a bunch of other hotheads who are trying to beat you to every corner. Do you think there will be a little bit of time it'll take for him to be like fully back where he's like the CJ Greaves that we know and that we expect?
Well, he's going to definitely think about it a lot, obviously, but CJ Greaves is like putting on a pair of sneakers, right? He throws and laces them up. He's ready to rock and roll. And at any given time, he might judge himself the first half of a couple of the races, but I guarantee you on that restart in the second half, he'll put himself in position where he has a shot to win. And he always has in the past, but he's driven so much, Shane, and he's right. done so much in a truck. It's like riding a bike for him, you know? You can give any scenario with CJ Greaves. I'm not just picking him because he's CJ, but hands down, you come and name somebody else that'll dominate in how many different classes in a day. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due.
And speaking of credit where it's due, I already, you know, mentioned that Kyle Greaves in the Pro 4 did a really nice job filling in and picked up a whole bunch of valuable points, a handful of podiums in that class. And Robert Loire, just like we expected, did really well, you know, a steady captain of the ship in those four rounds in both Pro Stock and Pro Side-by-Side. Also, I loved when Robert was on the podium at Anago.
Yes.
I think it was round four Pro Side-by-Side, so his last go at it, his last time filling in for CJ. And, you know, super emotional on the podium, a ton of gratitude to CJ and the whole Greaves family and their whole crew. You could tell that it was extremely meaningful for him to get back in the seat a little bit, and it was just really really great to see that.
Yeah, I believe it was still sinking in, right? I mean, if you feel anything for someone that puts the passion, the heart and soul in the sport. I mean, that was the time to feel it for him. And Robert Loire got that opportunity, and I promise, he did as best as he could, put 120% in, had some little bit of bad luck to start the year, but I mean, to put his drivers in position like Kyle Greaves was doing for CJ, I guarantee you, CJ, if you sat down and talked with him right now, he would just shake both their hands and say thank you, because without them, think about it, he'd be way, way back.
Out of those three classes, which one do you think is going to be the toughest hill for him to climb to be in that points fight down to the end of the year?
Man, I would want to say pro side-by-side. It's so tough. I mean,
Boodle's what Jeb Boodle's so doing. Darn fast.
Right, I know, and what Jeb Boodle's doing and a host of other great race car drivers in that class, you can't just throw CJ on top anymore because they've really progressed their programs, and it's been fun to watch. Not taken away from CJ, but I think that's going to be his biggest challenge.
I think both of the, you could make a case for either of the side-by-side classes, really. Pro right. Stock has been really competitive. Not only is Jeb fast, Colin Truitt's fast. David Gay really coming into his own in year two, and then Cross Kirchmeyer, who had a really great start to the year down in Wheatland. That's the four guys in front of CJ. Maybe I'll change my tune a little bit. I think that's going to be the toughest for him, is all those guys are fast. All those guys are proven winners. Plus, you got the other fast guys in that class, Brody Sands and Jake Kosmecki and a handful of others that are kind of on the rise and competing for podiums. You know, that class is probably the toughest out of the three to be consistently up front in, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it's just crazy talented, and you know, he's going to have to be methodical. He's going to have to pick his spots. He knows it's not going to be easy. He's not going to be a cakewalk by all means, and CJ will just come into it and do what he can do, right? I mean, it's a lot of focus. The weekend's going to be busy, but you know, these guys are pro racers, and they're going to let it all hang out, because when you're at Crandon, you want to win at Crandon, and it's not easy to just sweep the weekend in anything.
Well, another driver making his return from injury who also had a backup driver do extremely well, Connor Berry, is also going to be back in the seat in Pro Light. He's only 7 points back of Michael Funk for the points lead in Pro Light, so Drake Mateig, that's an A-plus job by him. I mean, we saw him, you know, win down in Missouri, so you know, you can't really ask much more than that out of a backup driver to actually put your truck in the number one spot. But looking at Pro Light, and again, smaller field.
Should have a couple more.
Yeah, well, we'll add a couple for Crandon. Marcus Catlin's going to make his debut. That's pretty exciting.
Cool.
But now that we know that, and the drivers know, Michael Funk and Joey Machosik know that they can win in Pro Light, I think the title fight between those drivers might actually be like surprisingly good all the way down to the wire this year. Even though it's a smaller class, I think that might be one of the most competitive championship battles we have.
Yeah, I mean, out of the four rounds we've ran so far in Pro Light, Shane, I mean, the Pro Light class has been one of the best battles, and there's only been so many trucks, but right. I agree with you with Funk and Machosik, because they feel that win underneath their belt, and they're going to drive as hard as heck, because I know Joey drives like it's the last day no matter what, and so does Michael Funk, and bringing Connor Berry back in the mix, obviously he's going to be fast. He knows what he's doing behind the wheel, but it'll be a hell of a battle. I promise you that. Great for Marcus Catlin as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, it's been surprising. We get nervous because our job is entertainment on top of information. When you have a smaller group of trucks about to get cut loose onto the racetrack, we're always like, we just hope it doesn't fly off the rails, right? We want everybody to finish. We want everybody to run competitively. Like, Pro Light's been fun. Even when there was five, it's been fun.
Yeah, and you know, like you said at best, we don't want to see three trucks break out and then we don't get a good race. You know, like if they don't make the whole race, then we're down to two, three trucks. But it's been pretty lucky in our hands where it's been very exciting. So I feel with a couple more trucks in the field, we'll add a little bit more excitement. And, you know, we just hope the best for the Pro Light division. It's a bummer how much it shrunk the past couple years, but man, oh man, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, we mentioned Pro Light getting a little bit of a boost, a couple more trucks showing up for Crandon. We also got a Pro 2 driver making his Champ Off-Road debut. Mikey Lawrence is going to be in the field in Pro 2. I was looking at his racing resume so far. This guy that's been racing in Baja for over a decade has done extremely well racing trophy trucks down there. He's a former top 10 finisher in the Baja 1000 and the Baja 500. So no stranger to competing on a big stage. And now he's going to try to take all that experience in the desert and put it to work in short course.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, more power to him. I love that he's coming into the Pro 2 division, and I think he'll be one to watch, because anytime you're in a desert racer, yeah, it's different from short course. I mean, you can argue, fight it all day long, but he knows what it is to be in the dirt, and it's not as fast on long straightaways, so he'll be used to the back straightaway going to the gravel pit and all that. I believe he'll just adapt very well, and I'm happy we're getting more trucks and new faces in our sport.
Yeah, I think, you know, the pedigree that he brings, just the experience, right. He's not going to show up and be slow. He's not going to show up and be out of control. I mean, again, he's coming out of racing trophy trucks that can go 140 miles an hour across a dry lake bed in Mexico.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
And on that note, I think Crandon's probably a good place for him to dive in first, because Crandon is the closest thing we have to racing on a lake bed.
Yeah, like I said, he'll adapt really well, and welcome to Champ Off-Road. It's awesome to have him in the Pro 2 division, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see what he does and mixes it up.
Well, one more, I guess, important bit of news, especially if you're planning on being at the racetrack with us at Crandon International Raceway, is, again, we're throwing some schedule curveballs at the drivers, running things a little bit differently than what they're used to. This time, instead of the Pro 2s and Pro 4s racing Sunday morning in advance of the Forest County Pottawatomie Community Cup as the finale on Sunday, Pro 2s and Pro 4s will each run 2 points races on Saturday, once in the morning and then once at the end to close out the show. Then they'll qualify mid-morning on Sunday for the Cup race and then race the Cup race. So moving one of the points races to Saturday, so two rounds of points racing, but a little extra track time when they get to go back out and qualify Sunday morning. And that's a little bit extra work for those drivers.
Yeah, a lot of work for the drivers and the crews, right, to do that turnaround. They've done it before in the past multiple times, but, you know, it's a big weekend, and, you know, you have that Cup race, and putting those trucks on the track two times before they ever see it, you know, in one day, at least they'll have Sunday or Saturday night all night to get it prepped and get ready for qualifying, and then if something does happen, they have all day to prep their trucks, obviously, but it'll be a different schedule. Definitely it'll be new to us and new to everyone, but hey, you know, it's 2026 and anything's up in the air. We're just along for the ride.
I do know that every crew guy watching their driver bump and bang and make any kind of contact through those 2 points races on Saturday is just going to be like, come on, just take it easy. Save the truck so we don't have to, you know, rebuild that thing overnight.
Right, and it's not like we have countless Pro 2s, so, you know, a limited number of Pro 2s run that Cup race on Sunday. So hopefully everyone stays healthy and we can have a good Cup race, and, you know, but we want to see him let it all out during the race day itself for the points. So I think the bigger teams are going to just do what they need to do and treat it like any other weekend. We've done it in the past, so, you know, it's going to be a big break for them on Sunday just to wait around, but they normally do that too.
Well, I can tell you one way those drivers can make those trucks last throughout a grueling weekend is by using AMSOIL lubricants. And you can actually use those same lubricants in everything you drive, whether it's on the street or on the trail. Use the AMSOIL Shop by Vehicle tool at AMSOIL.com. You can take all the guesswork out of picking the best oil and filter combination for whatever it is that you're going to be driving. Choose the right product and packaging option for you and enjoy fast, free delivery right to your door. Visit AMSOIL.com to learn more. Hey everyone, Shane from the editing desk here. I'm cutting in to tell you Brent and I had a fantastic interview with Corbin Wassenberg that was supposed to be included in this episode, but something beyond our control went wrong and his audio didn't upload. Oh, the joys of putting on a podcast with remote guests. We will have Corbin on a future episode very soon, and we feel absolutely awful that he made time for us and his audio was lost. Sorry, Corbin, we appreciate you, and good luck this weekend at Crandon. Well, with that, and with Crandon just a couple days away now, rounds 5 and 6, let's talk about what's really at stake for all the pro classes. You know, first up, I think our favorite pro class, and we're not too secretive about it, is probably Pro Spec. I'm wondering, are the real contenders going to separate themselves from, I hate using the word pretenders, but from the drivers who aren't quite ready to compete for a championship yet? Do you think we're going to see that separation this weekend?
I don't know. It's a big start for them, you know, for separation-wise. I mean, you might see Vanden Elsen, you know, and Wyatt Miller really take the next step and move away in the field. But there's so much talent, so many great drivers in the class. So, yeah, granted, Pretenders does put some drivers in that form of racing. Nothing against them, but, like, they're still building their program, still getting used
drivers
to the trucks.
Drivers on the rise is a better way to put it.
Right, absolutely. And I think we might see that happen. I mean, you know why it's going to be fast, but, you know, Cole Mamer, you've seen what he did in the past with all his trucks at Crannon, so maybe Vanden Elsen will kick it back up a notch. He already was fast qualifier a couple times this year. But I can't pick one from another in that class, and it's going to be entertaining. And the rookies in the class are just as strong at points.
I think what we're probably going to find out, if anything, is that there are few pretenders and a lot more contenders than maybe we think at this moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have to wait and see how it shakes out at Crannon. It's definitely different from where we've been at. I mean, granted, we're not on the long, long track, but that mid-track coming back into turn number one, it always creates great passing going up that hill. So anything can happen, right? You can get into trouble going through Argon Loop and flip it upside down. We've seen Cody Kleiman in the past do that, and it's scary. You know, you have to be on your game, hit your marks, and anything can happen. I'm expecting Dylan Parsons to turn things around, right? Just bad luck with his transmission and the shifter in the truck. I mean, he didn't start out too well at Antigo, but I look for him to have some good luck.
Another question on my mind, you know, we expect that Ryan Beat is the biggest threat to Keegan Kincaid in the Pro 2 Points Championship this season. We're going to Keegan's home track. He did not lose a Pro 2 race there last year. Do you think that Ryan Beat can get one over on Keegan in Crandon this weekend? He's going to need to start finding wins at Crandon to win a championship, I think.
Yeah, well, if he really wants to Keegan off, he's going to have to do it at Crandon, and right. That's what's the best part about it, because Rowdy Ryan Beat got his name for a reason, right? He's going to do what it takes to win. He's always right there up until the end of the race. When he dominates, he dominates. So it is Keegan's track, hometown, but I guarantee it's going to turn into a war, and that's...
Yeah, Ricky G is going to be tough. I think Rosales is going to be really tough after
the
strong finish at Crandon that he had last fall.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of guys in that class that can win at Crandon, but again, it's Keegan's home turf, and he's not going to let anybody forget it, I think.
Yeah, and the thing is the last thing you want to do is talk crap to Keegan about Crandon, right? Him and his dad know where every rock's located, and they've built trucks for Crandon, and they know what to do to set up. I guarantee they have two different options, four different options if the weather goes bad, knock on wood. It seems to be a good weekend, but I hope it's just good Pro 2 racing. And we have some of the best in the country in this division. And to sum up Ryan Beat and Keegan Kincaid, I think it's going to be gloves off kind of racing. You know, Keegan's going to want it, but so is Ryan Beat. And we've seen how fast Ryan's been so far.
We touched on this earlier, but, you know, something else at stake at Crandon, especially for Pro 4, but also for the drivers in Pro Side-by-Side and Pro Stock Side-by-Side, possibly the last chance that they're not getting a full-strength CJ Greaves. And I don't mean physical strength, but just, you know, comfort in those cars. Maybe their last chance to extend their points intervals over CJ a little bit. Do you agree with me that for the drivers in those classes, they're thinking about that right now?
Well, yeah, you're thinking in both directions, right? You're like, CJ Greaves is back. And at the same time, you're like, okay, maybe he's not up to full par so far, like you said. And it's hard to say that, right, out of his brain, because he's going to be there no matter what. But yeah, maybe they can get a couple spots on him on the opening day and, granted, open up their points battle against CJ, because eventually once he's ready to rock and roll, he's going to pick apart points like no other. So, I mean, you got to be ready to rock. But if you're any other competitor that's going to be racing against CJ, Shane, you want the best in the business out there, right? You know, when those guys won so far this season, they're like, yeah, you know, CJ still wasn't there. And if you don't bring him in the conversation, you don't want to beat the best.
You know what I'm really afraid of now that we've mentioned that a couple times is that CJ is going to hear this, or someone's going to tell him that we were talking about him in this way, and he's going to go out and win like 5 out of 6, like do a classic CJ thing.
Oh yeah, you can't put it in your back pocket yet, but at the same time, he'll be ready to rock and roll. And he had his voting on his Instagram and Facebook going on, and I voted the way I felt like I voted, and it was like, okay, only 25% thought he would do 5 out of 6, but anytime he shows up, it's like he's going to be there. He's got the equipment, he's got the funding, he's got what he needs, the drivability to move to the front. But, you know, the elbows are going to be out. It's not going to be easy. They're not going to make it easy for CJ because they're going to be like, hey, you got to respect us. We've been doing this for a couple weekends already.
Well, one last pro class and two drivers I want to single out in pro buggy a little bit. What's at stake for Michael Meister? Can he keep up the momentum that he got in Antigo? Had a terrible opening weekend. And then just like he did last year when running a partial schedule, showed up to Antigo and cleaned house at Antigo. And by the way, last year he also won round 5 at Crandon, pushing his win streak to 3 in a row. Can he continue that? And then the other side of the coin, the points leader, Billy Booth, has been consistent. 4 for 4 on the podium. In his time in pro buggy, Billy's never been the guy that, you know, rattles off a win streak. He can definitely win every time he lines up. We've never seen him have extended win streaks. We know that consistency is kind of his calling card. Can he stay consistent through another weekend at an entirely different track? Those are the two big questions for me in pro buggy.
Right. And, you know, Michael Meister is going to do his thing. He's going to go to the front, you know, 9 times out of 10 at Cran, and he feels that's his hometown track where he shows his power. You know, back in the day, how many times he swept that Cran and you're like, man, oh man, that Ponzi car gets out front. I remember hitting my brother a couple times going, man, nobody's going to tame him down. But Billy Booth needs to stay consistent. He can't afford a failure and let Michael Meister win a couple races and he breaks a day and has a fifth, right? He needs to be in that top three no matter what to keep opening up that gap. Even if it's 5-6 points heading out of Crandon, he needs to extend his lead if he wants that overall championship at the end of the year.
Yeah, Meister, for the record, still 4th in the pro buggy points, so still a ton of work to do for him. But again, that just means that we know that he's going to be, you know, he told us after Wheatland on the podcast, he's got to scratch and claw for every single point. That means, you know, qualifying, those bonus points. If he's going to lead, can he lead before halfway and pick up those bonus points? He's looking at it in terms of that. So I think that's interesting, you know, compared to Billy Booth, who, like we said, seems to be content with just stacking up one good finish after the other.
Oh, yeah, and then you have just so many other drivers in the class. You know, the Bernlohr brothers, they're tough. I mean, they're going to be right there at Crandon as well.
I'm still looking for big things out of Tony Keepers at his hometown track, too.
I was just going to say that, too. You took the words out of my mouth. Keepers has been right there, and he needs to just keep that drive alive, the passion, the heart and soul, and the excitement out of him. It's just a matter of time before he takes down that win.
And then one more thing that's, you know, to be decided this weekend, I think, is obviously we're at the 1 year anniversary of the most viral moment in the history of our sport. And the videos are starting to get shared around social media again, leading up to this weekend. Will we have another moment that wows us? I guess that's what's kind of up for grabs this weekend. And if you had to guess, what class is going to give it to us? I have a really good guess.
I believe that it's going to be what it's going to be, right? It's hard to pick out what is going to bring on the excitement. Hell, it might be the mod car class. We don't know yet, but I feel what we have brewing under the table is the pro spec class. Yep. I mean, we have the numbers. We have the talent. I mean, when you put 16 trucks on Crandon, who knows what's going to happen in the end, but I think we're going to lose our voices to a pro spec race this weekend.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick. And that's the easy pick coming into every weekend. But
I hope it's something else, right? We just want to see great racing.
We saw a really great one in round 2 at Wheatland, the battle down to the wire between Vanden Nielsen and Miller. We saw an absolutely wild one to end the show in round 3 at Antigo. I think we're just in store for another one and possibly two good old-fashioned slugfest races with those pro spec drivers.
Oh yeah, I'm very, very excited to get to Crandon and just to see it and watch qualifying, watch practice. I don't know when I'm going to be there on Friday, but just the excitement of being at the big house once again, it never gets old, right? I mean, we get to go there and share our excitement for 2 weekends a year, and I don't care. The spring run used to be kind of laid back. Now what Crandon's doing and adding more excitement, hopefully we bring more people to entertain. I mean, I'm excited for the rally cars as well as all of our show. I think it's going to be a barn burner. I mean, the moment could be in any class, but I would want to say that we got to stay true to our drivers, and I believe they're going to put up one hell of a fight at Crannon.
Also, don't forget, dear listeners, Sunday is Father's Day. So as you're hearing this, you'll still have a couple days left to get your dad a gift and a card. You're welcome for the reminder.
Thank you.
We talked about it on the last podcast a little bit, Brent, that your dad was the one that first brought you to the off-road races in Bark River. And of course, my dad's been involved in racing in Crandon since it started in 1970. He was a racer and then helped found the track where it is today and literally built some of the structures that are out there. I'm wondering, do you have a favorite racing memory that you share with Bobcat?
Well, you know, I shared a lot of memories with him, but the couple first times we ever got to go to Crandon, just to see the excitement, he kept us entertained and, you know, asking the stupid question to the old man, like, hey, we want to do this. And he'd just ignore us all the time. But just being in the moment, being there with him. And then later in my life, I got to get third at the big house and to see my dad smile and the big hug I got from him, you know, we're all really close in my family, but just to see the excitement from when he brought me back in the day when I was 4 or 5 years old to when I was almost 40 years old getting my dream, right? Like, that was just over the top to have my dad there and have him healthy enough to be there at his age and just all around. Just family's huge, and you know it best. You know, your dad always brought home the news and what you needed to know about Crandon. Well, my dad really wasn't a racer, but he always knew that we loved it, so he always kept us around it.
Frankly, my dad, his involvement in racing is the reason that I was born into this crazy sport of ours, literally to the point where I'm really not sure what my life would look like had I been born to other parents. Couldn't even tell you. Racing is one of the few constants I've had in my life, you know, for going on 38 years or however old I am now.
You could have been in water polo.
But I guess if I had to narrow it down to a couple, so my dad, like I said, put a lot of work into the racetrack at Crandon for decades. And I remember when I was a kid in the summertime, like 4 or 5 years old, I would go out there with him while he was working on the barn or putting new wiring in one of the buildings or building a flag stand or
right.
Any number of different things that he did out there over those several decades of work. So I vividly remember being a little kid and I was just excited to be there. There's nothing going on the track in July.
Who cares, right? You were there.
Yeah, it's cool to be at the racetrack. You know, unfortunately, my dad had some back injuries and had to get out of racing before I was born. But the full circle moment of it all was last Labor Day when I got to race and got to have a race car down at the parade. And my dad came and hung out with me pretty much the entire time I was down there. And I, you know, you could tell he was super excited that I guess his life's work kind of came full circle in that way. So that's one of my treasured memories.
He was so proud of you though, Shane. It was fun to see and just reminiscing about your dad back in the day. I frankly remember that. I think we talked to your dad when we were younger before we even knew it was your dad. Like, and then we started chit-chatting in our teens, but I mean, your dad was always so nice and so generous to us and making sure we were comfortable when we were at Crandon. Your dad, that was his passion, right? He brainwashed you without even knowing.
Yeah. set me up for whatever this life is now, I guess. But yeah, it'll be nice to be, you know, even though I will see him for just a vanishingly small moment on probably Sunday morning at the driver's meeting, it'll be nice that he'll be down in the flag stand at the finish line. I'll be up in the booth. We get to celebrate Father's Day. Doing what both of us love to do. So looking forward to that. And looking forward to Crandon for a lot of things. You already touched on the Rallycross Americas series coming through. They'll be there Labor Day weekend as well. It's rebranded for this year as the Forest County Pottawatomie Brush Run Speed Festival. Not only did they add Rallycross, but they're also adding some rock bouncers that'll be out in the back 40 throughout the weekend. And like always in the spring weekend, it culminates in the Forest County Pottawatomie Community Cup Sunday afternoon. You also mentioned the weather looks to be pretty good, right around 70 degrees, dude. Both days, not 105 heat index like we had 1 year ago. So good racing weather, should stay dry throughout the weekend. Again, take every weather forecast we give you with a grain of salt. But racing starts at 8:30 a.m. Central on Saturday, and we hope to see you there. And if not, we hope to see you tune in on Flow Racing.
Yeah, Shane, it's going to be a blast to get back to the big house. We're just a few days away. I mean, hey, I'm grinning, smiling ear to ear because it's just fun to be back up in the booth once again, get to call the best sport in the world, like we say, and it's going to be cool. Throw a couple curveballs at us with the Rally X American Series, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a war in our part, like through the Pro Series, but the sportsmen are going to throw off one hell of a show. I mean, you want to win at the big house, yet in my life, I have about 5 or 6 second place finishes, and it's a killer, right? You want that top trophy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, you say this quite a bit, and it is 100% true. If you're going to win, you want to win at Crandon, just the history of the place and, you know, the magnitude, the weight of it all. It's a little bit different at Crandon than it is everywhere else.
It is. We always call it the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500 of our sport. And man, oh man, we usually have to wait for the fall to get this much excitement, but you know, the spring race, we're changing things up. Oh yeah, absolutely. A few days away.
Well, like I said, racing starts 8:30 a.m. Central. Find us there or find us on Flow Racing. And that's it for this one. He's Brent. I'm Shane. This has been the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. And we will talk to you again from the big house very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Take all the guesswork out of picking the best oil and filter combination for what it...
Holy shit, you all right?
Ran out of gas. I don't know what that was.